God's got a great word for us tonight. You may be seated. Thank you, Pastor. Continue to pray those confessions as he's going out to bring the word. Glory to God. I feel good tonight. Hallelujah. Let's pray and get right into the word. Father in heaven, we love you and praise you and bless you this night. We come boldly to your throne of grace. Father, that you would make a deposit in our hearts forever. Father, that you would make your word come alive on the inside of us, that you would enlighten the eyes of our understanding, that you would show us great and mighty things from your word. And Father, you said that the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. So the word is not the ultimate, but the ultimate is the power. The ultimate is the manifestation of your word in the earth. And for this, we also pray. Holy Spirit, have your way. Whatever you desire to do, God, we yield unto you this day. And Father, for all these things, we give you thanks and praise. And all God's people said, amen. 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 If you have your Bibles, open them to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. The title of our message tonight is Developing the Power of the Inner Man. Developing the Power of the Inner Man. And as we go through the scriptures, hopefully, we'll paint a picture of just how much power is in our inner man. When we develop the outer man, let's say you go to the health club and you lift weights, that's obvious to the general public. They can see, you can tell somebody who works out, really, seriously. But when we start working on the inner man, a lot of times you can't immediately take note. You can't notice it from the outside when we've been working out on the inner man. But when we come here to service and we hear the word and we pray, we study, we meditate, we're working our inner man. We're building up our inner man. And so tonight, hopefully, we'll be able to communicate just how much power is resident in our inner man and learn just a few more things on how to develop that power and release that power. Okay, if you're in Ephesians chapter 3, we'll look at verses 14 through 16 and then start at verse 20. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And then verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I'd like to go back to verse 16. The prayer is that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. To be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And then verse 20 says that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So God's ability to manifest more than we could even imagine, God's ability is limited by the power that works in us. As omnipotent as God is, the expression of his power is limited to the power that works in us. Jesus spent time with God. Jesus himself was strengthened in his inner man so that his outer man could operate with power. 1 Peter 3:4 calls it the hidden man of the heart. When we take time to develop our inner man, and our inner man is clothed with the outer man, the only power that the outer man has is that which comes from the inner man. Whatever power that is demonstrated, whatever miracles, whatever manifestations of the word is manifest, it's not due to something sourced from the outer man, but it all comes from the inner man. Romans 7:18, the Apostle Paul tells us that in this flesh dwelleth no good thing. 1 Corinthians 9:27, he says, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. So it says that the inner man should be at all times controlling the outer man. The inner man should be in charge. Our inner man should be in control of our flesh. Our flesh shouldn't be ruling us and telling us what to do. So how does the inner man get strong? Let's look at Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 19. Ecclesiastes 7 and 19. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. It's making a comparison, the inner man and the outer man. Wisdom brings strength to the inner man. And if you were to compare it, wisdom gives more strength to our inner man than 10 mighty men which are in the city. 10 mighty men, 10 soldiers, 10 officers, 10 bouncers. Can we say that? You know what I'm talking, you know, for the bouncers, you try to get the big ones, right? But wisdom strengthens the inner man even more so than that. The inner man is exponentially more powerful than the outer man. And it's important for us to recognize that. And so for that, I'd like to use an example. Think of your favorite car and the manufacturing plant that produces that car. Millions upon millions of cars can be produced from that plant. Products, pharmaceuticals, millions and millions. And sometimes there's a recall. And no matter how many millions, and you can see these powerful, huge plants that take acres and acres, no matter how many millions of products have been produced, if there's a flaw or a defect that creates a recall, okay, it's like that messes up the whole process. All of that was wasted. All of that you have to recall and get it retrofitted, get it refixed. And so the power of that manufacturing plant, where does the true power come from? And I would venture to say that the power is not necessarily just in the mass production, even though there's a lot of power that goes forth. The power is in the design lab. It's where that product was given birth. It was created. An idea came, a thought came, and they worked it through and they developed a prototype and they worked out all the bugs. And once they get it right in the design lab, if they get it right, then they can make millions, they can make billions, because you've got a good product. But what's important is you got to start with the right product. And that's what happens in the inner man. That's why God tells us to meditate so much on the word. That's why he puts so much emphasis in being doers of the word and not hearers only, because it all happens on the inside. If we can get it right on the inside, then the fruit that the word produces through us, it'll be good fruit. Amen? So where does the power reside to affect millions? It resides in that engineer or that architect or that designer that gets a vision, and they can see what others can't see, and then it's ready for mass production. So, what am I saying? If you take that a step further, that the power to produce change personally or in society, in our cities, in our environments, the power to affect change starts in the inner man. Because once you get the right element or the right seed, then that seed can produce a great amount of change. That's why it's not wise to try to throw a lot of money to fix problems when you've not taken the time to get the wisdom for exactly what is the right pathway that will get us the results that we need. I just heard Pastor talking about that money is not your problem. And we're going to see in the scriptures that wealth comes with wisdom. That wealth is, could we say, a side effect of wisdom? You know, they come out with these pharmaceuticals and you can take this, but the side effects might kill you. You know, that's not wisdom. That's not the wisdom that is from above. That's fallen wisdom. But the wisdom that comes from above, it says in James, is pure, peaceable, gentle, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. So when we take time to get the wisdom of God, then we'll get the best output and the best results. And we won't have flawed models. And the Bible speaks of two kinds of wisdom. Because it's wisdom. Remember, the Apostle Paul prayed that we be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. It's wisdom that brings strength to the inner man. The world has wisdom. It talks about in James 3, verses 14 through 16. Okay, let's do it, verse 15. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but it's earthly, sensual, and devilish. So there is a wisdom that if there is a wisdom that is not from heaven, but it's sourced from the flesh, it's sourced from the outer man, then that is a kind of wisdom that is subject to decay. It's subject to flaw. It's subject to imperfection. It's subject to being earthly. It says earthly, sensual, and devilish. It is subject to being... It is the influence of the enemy that is trying to bring forth fruit from his seed. The wisdom that is from above, again, we did mention that. Let's look to Proverbs chapter 2. So where does this wisdom come from? There is power in the inner man. And when the seed, in the parable of the sower, when the seed is sown into the heart and we receive that seed and we let that seed grow and produce, it will absolutely produce what's in there. If you think of a seed, any kind of seed, let's say an apple seed, that tiny seed has so much power in it that it can produce a huge apple tree that will yield bushels and bushels of apples for years and years and years. Now, to me, that's a miracle. We're so used to the process of growth that we really don't recognize that a tiny seed could produce all that food. That's the same kind of power that is in the word seed. That's the same kind of power. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, it says that God is upholding all things by the word of his power, not the power of his word. So think of God. God has all power, and he speaks. He loses a word. He speaks. And within his words are power. He releases power in his words. But his word, the Bible says the sower sows the word. The word is in seed form. Remember, as Jesus ministered and they said his words were with power? So he gives us power in seed form. And it's up to us to let that seed take root in our hearts and to water it and to let it grow and let it grow and let it grow so big that the next step is the physical manifestation of it. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Because there's power in the seed. The bigger that seed and that plant grows in us, the more power is available. Amen? So where do we get the wisdom that is the source of this power? Proverbs 2, verse 1, "My son, if you'll receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear to wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and search for her as for hid treasures, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keeps the paths of judgment. He preserves the way of the saints. For the Lord gives wisdom." The Lord gives wisdom. There should not be a problem that exists in the earth where a believer hasn't said, "You know, Lord, I'd like to be part of that solution. So I'm going to study and meditate this word. Father, show me, reveal to me what you would have me to either pray or what you would have me to act on or to implement." Because God gives wisdom, and his seed brings forth excellent fruit. So to get wisdom, we have to go after it. It says, search for it as for hid treasures. Cry after it. We have to pursue it with a passion. We can't be lackadaisical or come see, come saw. Well, you know, maybe I'll get it, maybe I won't. I mean, have you ever seen somebody who is passionate about a vision? They're passionate about their business. They're passionate about something. And it's like every time you see them, that's all they talk about. People may have said that about you. You're passionate about God. You want people to come hear the word. That's God wants us to pursue his truth, pursue his wisdom with a passion. Because when we do that, then he opens up the deeper things and the revelation, and he opens up those secrets and mysteries, and it starts to grow on the inside of us. Because God wants his church to shine, to be the people who bring solutions to the marketplace, who bring solutions to society. God's not holding back on us, but we've got to pursue it. Amen? Amen. And so what are some of the byproducts, some of the benefits of pursuing God's wisdom? Because remember, we talked about the wisdom that is earthly, sensual, and devilish, that has all these side effects, that all has all these recalls. That's not the character of the word. So that when we pursue wisdom, this is what we can expect from wisdom. Proverbs 4, verse 8, "Exalt her and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when you embrace her. She'll give to your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she'll deliver to you. Hear, O my son, receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." So when we follow God's wisdom promises long life. It doesn't give you warnings that you might die for taking this. God's wisdom promises long life. Proverbs 3, verse 2, "For length of days, long life, and peace shall they add to thee." Verse 13 in chapter 3, "Happy is the man that finds wisdom, and the man that gets understanding. The merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold." That wisdom, it's better than silver. It's better than gold. Because what you can do with wisdom can do what money cannot do. 15, "She is more precious than rubies." All the things that you can desire are not to be compared unto her. Remember the verse that says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Wisdom is like that. There's scriptures that talk about God's wisdom is sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. That when we pursue, when we feed on the word of God and we take time to really, really pursue it, then that desire will fill our hearts. Verse 16, "Length of days is in her right hand, and her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace." All of these things come when we pursue wisdom, when we seek God. See, there are a lot of things that can enter into our hearts. Our hearts, there's power in that inner man. And if we don't guard our hearts, like Proverbs says, you know, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." We need to protect our hearts. Take heed what we hear. Take heed how we hear. Because whatever we allow to come into our hearts, it's going to start growing. We empower whatever we start believing and whatever we start letting in our hearts. And the more we hear, if we keep hearing stuff from the world and we keep hearing and meditating on it, that image, the image of the reality of that bad news gets big in our hearts and it chokes out the word. So now when it comes time for a word response so that God can manifest his power and his glory, the power is not there. So there's peace, there's pleasantness, there's long life, there's the ability to get things done. It all comes with the wisdom of God. Proverbs 4:13, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life and that they might have life more abundantly. The life is in the wisdom of God. Glory to God. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7:17. Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Fruit comes from the inner man, through the inner man, through the outer man. Let's look at Matthew 12, verse 35. So it's saying that the nature of the tree, you have to get the nature of the tree right so that the fruit is right. Amen? Proverbs 12, 35. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. A good man out of the good treasure. A good man will fill his heart with goodness, with good treasures. An evil man will fill his heart with evil things because he's feeding on it. If we're looking at the behavior, what's happening out in our cities, understand that when people act out, it's only because their hearts have gotten full of, they've been feeding on that. If you feed on evil, eventually it's going to start coming out of your heart and into your behavior. Matthew 15, 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Things that proceed from the heart. And so these kinds of acts, adultery, fornication, murders, thefts, it starts in the heart. That's why in Proverbs when it says, keep your heart with all diligence. Let's guard our hearts with all diligence. That's why God said, as he prophesied, he said, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. Because God's way of addressing the behavior of people was not trying to make them to behave better, but they needed a new heart. Amen? Make the tree good and its fruit will be good. Okay, Matthew 13, 24. And this is a parable where Jesus is saying, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in a field, but while he slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householders came to him and said, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then we go gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I'll say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And then he gives the interpretation in verse 37. He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that soweth them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall be cast them into the furnace of fire, etc. So the main point we're seeing is that the tares and the good wheat shall coexist even unto the end of the world. And we being in the kingdom of God, we desire a perfect earth, right? No weeping, no sorrow, no crime, no anything. We desire that. We desire that. But we must understand that until the end of this world, there will be wheat and there will be tares. But when the wisdom of God, when we're operating in the wisdom of God, even though there might be tares in the earth, 1,000 can fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it doesn't have to come near us. In the middle of the parable and the interpretation, in that same chapter, Matthew 13, he talks about the seed in verse 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. If you look earlier in the chapter, he's telling the parable of the sower. And in verse 4, it says, he sowed seed, and some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. So when we hear the word of God, that's its most vulnerable time. Because sometimes it's easy when we hear things to kind of cast it off. If we don't purpose in our hearts to believe that, to receive that, to take that, and to make that grow in our lives. But if we meditate the word of God and we allow that word to grow on the inside of us, those same elements that would try to steal the word out of our hearts, there are no threat, because the power of the word has grown so big in us that all of the things of the earth that came to attack us and to attack the word are no longer a threat. That's the power of the word. In that same chapter, Matthew 13 and verse 19, Jesus is explaining that parable of the sowers. So when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understandeth not, then comes the wicked one, catcheth away what was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that receives seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and in anon with joy receives it, yet hath no root in himself. He endures for a while, but when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, he is offended. In John 15:20, Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. John 16:33, he says, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. There is so much power. Jesus' ministry, Jesus was an example of how we, his church, he's the head, we're the body, of how we can operate. And his power came from the word. And so in the parable of the sower, God is showing us how important it is that if we don't guard our hearts, then these seemingly innocent things that are going on in our lives to steal the word, we might not even recognize that it's the enemy trying to come to steal the word. For example, cares of this world. The enemy can use your environment to steal your attention away from the word of God so that you'll start the cares and the worries and the things of everyday life start becoming very, very big and the word starts growing distant. For instance, in Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 35, when Jesus said, let's go over to the other side. And then verse 38, they said, because of the storm, they said, carest thou not that we perish? Okay, that the enemy stole the word. And that care consumed their hearts. How about Matthew 6:31? Jesus says, take no thought by saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. All of these things, the cares of this world, can affect the ability of that inner man to operate with power. The second one, deceitfulness of riches. In Proverbs chapter 1, this is such a clear picture. Proverbs 1:10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Of people being influenced to commit crimes. People being influenced because they think that there's something in it for them. Verse 19 says, so are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. So without wisdom, then people are prey to the influence that will bring them down into the enemy's territory. And the solution to that, verse 20, is wisdom that cries out, she utters her voice in the street. Verse 23, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. So the ways that the enemy tries to steal the word, cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches. Another thing, lust of other things entering in that choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses is telling Israel about what the land of promise, how good it's going to be there. Verse 9, Deuteronomy 8:9, a land wherein you'll eat bread without scarceness, you shall not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, out of whose hills you may dig brass. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he giveth thee. Beware that you forget not the Lord. Say, forget not the Lord. Thy God, in not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Yes. Lest when you've eaten and you're full, you've built goodly houses and dwelt therein, your herds and your flocks multiply, your silver and your gold multiply, all you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt. Deuteronomy 29 and verse 18. Now we're going to go through a scenario, a couple of different scenarios, and the point that we're making here is that these things you've heard before. You've heard these scriptures before, and you kind of know them, but I want to paint a picture of just how important it is for us to keep our hearts. And because there is so much power in our hearts to produce, that if we're not vigilant and we let other things come in and into our hearts, there is a chain reaction that doesn't just start with us. But the beginning of a failure, the beginning of disaster, the beginning of the decline of a nation, it didn't start by a movement. It started because someone or some group of people let some knowledge and some false knowledge, some lies and some error take root in their hearts. And because they didn't let the Word of God give them a discernment so they could discern, is this the truth or is this error? They didn't have the Word of God, so this error, this lie, this deception grew and grew and grew and grew until it affected the whole nation. So let's look at an example of that, Deuteronomy 29. I know that it seems kind of laborious to go through this, but the power that is within us, if we can see the power of the enemy sowing bad seed to try to get us away from serving God and how that can affect an entire nation, how much more when we take the seed of the Word of God as Christians who believe it, who are sold out to God, we can influence an entire nation for good, even to a greater degree. That's what we're trying to impart. So let's look at Deuteronomy 29:18. Lest there should be among you a man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord. Let's look at that phrase, whose heart turns away. That we're going to see that phrase in additional scriptures that we'll cover. But this is where it begins. The heart turns away from God. To go and serve other gods of these nations, lest there should be any among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And it came to pass that when he heareth the words of this curse, he will bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine own heart to add drunkenness to thirst. So Moses is saying he's reading the law. He's reading the blessings and the curses, that blessings come to the obedient and curses come to those who rebel. And so he says, when your heart starts turning away, that means that he's going to hear the word, but he's going to say, I don't have to obey the word. I can have peace without the word. I can follow the imagination of my own heart. I don't want to fill my imagination with the word of God. I'd rather fill my imagination with other things. So verse 20, the Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. Now, we're not under the law, so I'm not trying to put the fear of God in you that think that that's going to happen to you. Okay, this is in the old covenant. And the Lord shall separate him unto him evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant. So that, verse 22, so that the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come from a far land shall say, when they see the plagues of that land and the sicknesses which the Lord had laid upon it, when the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown, nor beareth, nor any grass grows therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboiim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath, even all nations. So this is saying that the heart that began to turn away from God, the effects of turning away from God, other nations will see the results when our hearts start to turn away from God. It will be evident. Verse 24, even all nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done thus unto this land? What meaneth the heat of his great anger? And then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. They went and served other gods and worshiped them, gods who they knew not, and whom he had not given unto them. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in the book. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and wrath and in great indignation, and cast them into another land as it is this day. So Moses is telling them what will happen if their hearts start turning away from the Lord. And of course, we know in the book of Judges, that's exactly what happened, that after Joshua and all that generation died away, their hearts turned away from the Lord. They started being like the world. And so therefore, when we reject the wisdom of God, when the world rejects the wisdom of God, they don't just reject his wisdom. They reject all the benefits. They reject all the benefits of serving God. And in Proverbs, all those benefits, long life, peace, safety, you know, all those things, you know, they give up. Okay, so it started when the heart turned away from God. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, there's a very familiar scripture, which is God's response to 2 Chronicles chapter 6. As Solomon is dedicating the temple, and he's going through all these different scenarios. Lord, if when our enemies come against us, or if when famine comes, Israel understood, and Solomon, he recognized that when natural disasters and when enemies from other countries started overrunning them, they without a doubt understood it was because that they rebelled, they left God. And Solomon said, please forgive us. When we see all this tragedy happening in our nation, Lord, forgive us, because we know it wasn't you. It wasn't God who missed it, it was us. Okay. Now, remembering God loves people. Okay, God loves people, but the behavior of people God despises. Okay? All right. Let's look at, we need to wrap this up. Somehow I don't feel like I've quite gotten where we need to go. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Again, we're looking at a scenario that when the heart starts to turn away from God, let's look at the chain reaction of things that happen. In Romans chapter 1, verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. We'll skip quickly to Romans 1, verse 28. It says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Okay? They didn't want to hear about God. They didn't want to know anything about God. They didn't want you talking about God. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. So, going back to verse 21, they became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. The entrance of God's word gives light, right? So when you take God's word away and the influence of God and God's wisdom, what are you left with? You're left with darkness. So let's look at what kind of behavior happens when people... Okay? People, they think they're wise. They think because they think that they're walking in wisdom, but it's darkness. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, and they'll be bold about it. They became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, birds, four-footed, creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. Remember, there is so much power that happens in our hearts. So if we yield to the lusts of the flesh, then they will just begin to multiply. To dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust toward one another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. So let's look at the chain reaction. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. And you wouldn't think that a little thing, like a heart turning away from God, or a heart saying, I don't receive that, I don't believe that. Because when you make a habit of resisting the wisdom of God, it starts a chain reaction. Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 11. That's because the heart is so powerful. What the heart can produce when seed is sown in our hearts, it produces nations, it produces kingdoms, it produces all manner of things. In 1 Kings 11, it's a story about Solomon. And early on, Solomon really had a passion and a heart for God, because when God says, whatever you want, just ask me. And he said, wisdom, you know, so I may, you know, rule your people. But eventually his heart got turned away. And so let's look at how many times it says about his heart being turned away, starting in verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh, the women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said to the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after other gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Verse 6, and Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Verse 9, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. I'd like to bring to our attention this very interesting thing about this account, that God wasn't talking about Solomon's sex life. He made not one mention about Solomon having sex with all these women. Outer man. The behavior, God didn't even address it. That was not God's issue with Solomon. God's issue was that Solomon did not guard his heart. And his behavior opened up the door for his heart to turn away from God. And eventually, he lost the kingdom. And eventually, the kingdom of Israel split up into a northern and southern kingdom because he didn't guard his heart. And so as we look at the behavior of the unsaved, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And the only reason that there is a manifestation of behavior is that somewhere the inner man's heart turned away from wisdom, turned away from the Lord, and that manifested. So let's turn our attention to the power of the heart. As I was looking through scriptures as we're beginning to end, I was looking at different scriptures that talked about power. Dunamis, the miracle-working power, and exousia, the authority power. And as we sit under the Word of God, we love the Word. Don't we love the Word? Yes. We love feeding on the Word. It encourages us. It builds us up. We receive strength. God gives us precious promises that we can confess and we can believe and God can manifest. But personally, I haven't put enough emphasis on the dunamis of the kingdom. And so we'll just take a minute to go through some of this, because it's the dunamis power of God. That's the power that's in the Word that God gave us. The kingdom of God is not just in word, but in power. And so when we preach the word, it doesn't do any good to preach the word and nothing happen. We preach the word and people get saved. We preach the word and signs and wonders and miracles confirm the word. Amen? And so I just want to look at a couple of scriptures. In Acts 1:8, when Jesus said, "And ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you," that's dunamis. Acts 4:33. It says, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection." That's dunamis power. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, with dunamis, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. After Jesus was in the wilderness, Luke 4:14, it says, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit, dunamis. He fasted, he spent time with God, and he came back with power. In the Lord's Prayer, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory," that power is dunamis. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, "My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words, enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So he didn't even say that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but the wisdom of God. He went past, he went through the wisdom of God. Yeah, we got the wisdom of God, but the target of the wisdom of God is to manifest some harvest, to manifest something in the earth. Let's turn to 2 Peter 1:3. We'll start at 1:2. "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power," that's dunamis, "has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue." So God's dunamis power is that which gives us the things. As we get the knowledge, we have verse 4, it says, "Through these precious promises, by these we might partake of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." It's his power that delivers answered prayer. In Luke 9:1, Jesus gave the apostles power, dunamis, over all devils and over all diseases. 2 Timothy 1:7, "God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of dunamis." And again, Ephesians 3:20, "God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the dunamis that works in us." And is that the dunamis, the word carries the dunamis. The word carries it. A continual diet of God's knowledge, a diet of God's word in our minds, keeps that light and fire bright in our hearts. If we remove God from the hearts, then the hearts get dark and you have a manifestation of a decline of a people and of a life. And so, so as we end, I know this is kind of a funny message, a different message for tonight, but I... I feel it was kind of on a very serious note, but I just want us to see that when a society works very hard to negate God and his word, they're headed towards destruction. And until we get a revelation of how crucial it is to keep God in our culture unashamedly, and we keep God in our culture, first of all, by keeping God in us. First of all, by keeping our hearts inclined to the word and taking an extra emphasis and just an extra push, an extra drive, an extra pursuit, an extra hunger, so that we can see the word manifest in our lives, so that we can be fully persuaded that when we go out into the marketplace with good news and with the word, that when it's time for God to demonstrate his power, we've allowed the seed of the word to grow up enough in us that the fruit of manifestation is there when we need it. Yes, there are many people who get born again by the witness of the word. But I believe that we are living in days when darkness, people walking in darkness are getting very bold. They are very boldly promoting darkness. And if there's anybody who should be a fanatic, they poured out of that upper room. The Bible says they thought they were drunk with new wine. And so I believe that as we give ourselves to this word and kind of dig deeper and really let it grow big in us, I believe that we will be as those that poured out of the upper room. And the manifestation of the power of the word that it's going to take. See, you might not hear the news talk about he preached a good sermon, but when you see a whole bunch of people getting saved, when you see people putting their weapons down, just laying them down, when you see people whose hearts were so hard, you think they would never get saved. When you start seeing them get saved, and you know when somebody who's a sure enough sinner gets saved, they are sure enough bold for Jesus in the kingdom, amen? So when we see that happen, that's in us. That's the power that's in us. And saints, I do believe that we are in the days where we can see that manifestation. If we just press a little bit harder. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, I thank you. I thank you for my brothers and sisters who have come. I thank you for those, Lord God, who have been standing on the word. I pray, Lord God, that you would just give us an extra push. That we will place a demand on that seed to grow, on that plant to grow, that will guard our hearts, that will not let the enemy steal the seed, kill the plant, or destroy the fruit that's growing in our hearts. Father, we do believe that you have called us to preach the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth, and you promised that you would confirm the word with signs following, and we pray that as we give ourselves to studying the word, not just because it enriches us, but because there is a harvest, there is a manifestation that is at the end of their promise. Father, we pray and we believe you, Lord God, for those manifestations in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. 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 God bless you. Amen.